On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I review one heck of a week in Gamecock basketball as Carolina sweeps Georgia, and we have a nationally recognized buzzer beater, and then baseball season is here. It is opening weekend. I preview the opening series for the Gamecocks and give a little bit of insight into what I expect from the team this season. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 43 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope everyone had a lovely, lovely week. Again, I'm sorry there was no episode on Monday. I was away. I came back from the trip. I tried to mix in waters. Shout out Mike Yuva. It's not always that easy when you're having fun, but I was in New Orleans, was in Louisiana, and I'd gotta say, the highlight of my trip was that we did a little fan boat tour, something I've always wanted to do, but I got to hold a little baby alligator. Now, granted, it was a baby alligator, but it felt good that I could help carry the momentum of South Carolina just dominating Gators. I had a South Carolina headband on. I had my whole outfit going on my Instagram. Great plug for that. Cox Talking Gamecocks on the Instagram. And it just felt good just to say, you know what? I'm representing South Carolina, and I'm dominating these little inferior Gators once again. So that was a good little tidbit there, but I hope everyone had a lovely week. We have a packed show today to recap everything that I would have carried over on Monday, and then we have to go into what is a busy week for the Gamecocks and a very busy weekend. But before we start that, we have to go to our handy-dandy trivia, and this is a very fitting one. Can you name the first freshman softball player in program history to lead the Gamecocks in batting average, home runs, and RBIs in a single season? Dun-dun. 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 Mackenzie Basil in 2017. Shout out, Mackenzie. That is a very, very impressive season you put together there. Congratulations. And it's fitting because baseball, softball, they are here. It is so fun. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but it is very exciting to now have a couple of different sports in the mix again. And whenever you hear the pings of those bats, you know that spring and summer is right around the corner. No offense to basketball. I love basketball, but basketball is a winter sport. It's cold. You're inside a gym. But there's nothing better than being at Founders Park or being anywhere else watching softball, baseball on a nice spring and summer day. So we're going to review the week. Obviously, I did miss a little bit with being away on Monday. So, I mean, I guess I picked a hell of a weekend to be distracted because we had a sweep of the Georgia Bulldogs. And I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what you're doing. Anytime you can beat the Georgia Bulldogs, it is great. So starting with the men's game, they beat Georgia 80-68. And look, again, I don't care that they're the bottom feeder of the SEC. Talk about bad. I mean, they stink. But anytime you can beat them, it feels great. Keyshawn Bryant with 22 points leading the way there. And then the women did their part, beating Georgia 72-54. The highlight there was that Aaliyah Boston continues her double-double streak, made it with 18 points and 12 rebounds. And this week also, there was that quote, or tweet I should say rather, that Dawn Staley had talking about Aaliyah not getting quite the national spotlight as other players do. And you know what? I completely agree. And some people might say, Dawn, you got to focus on your team, focus on the coaching. I think this is a coach standing up for her players. They have built a bond in that locker room. They are a family. And she is the elder statesman. She is, you know, sort of the mother in the room. And She sees one of her players who's grown into one of, but in my opinion, the best player in the country, simply not getting the recognition she feels she deserves. So she put it out there. She put it into the universe. And it's going to have its own momentum now. And guess what? People are going to start talking about Aliyah Boston. And I believe come the end of the year, she will be recognized as such, as the National Player of the Year, because what she is doing is incredible. And we as South Carolina fans can see her journey to get to this point, which makes it even all the more impressive. But I think she'll be recognized on that stage when it's all said and done. And now continuing with the week in review, going to do the men's now. The men's beat Ole Miss 77-74 in overtime. This game will forever be known as the James Reese buzzer beater game. I mean, my goodness gracious. We broke the internet, Gamecock fans. We broke the internet, simply as put as that. Every major sports outlet picked it up. Fox, ESPN, CBS, Barstool. It was absolutely electric to see. And we were kind of unofficially kicking off the madness of college basketball, right? Everyone's ready for March, and people are saying, oh, it's only February. Look at this buzzer beater. Very, very cool to see. And, I mean, obviously, it was a back-and-forth game. It was super close. Went to OT. It was right on the edge of the second overtime, but it was great to see a big, big positive exclamation point when really a chunk of our season has frankly been the opposite of that. No pun intended, Frank. But look, I do have to speak to this on this game because, of course, the cynic in me does say that Ole Miss is also towards the bottom of the SEC and it took us overtime and a miracle shot to beat them. But let's just bask in the greatness that was that buzzer beater. Nice little back-to-back wins there, right? We knew this team was decent, right? There's no fight against these bigger teams, right? So you have an opportunity at their next game, which is a perfect transition into Saturday at home against LSU, right? James Reese even said, he's like, we need Colonial Life rocking. So what are we looking at here? LSU is 19-7 overall, 7-6 in conference. Very similar to our record in conference, at least. We're 6-7, they're 7-6. They have a better overall record than us. They average 73 points per game, right around ours, 72, but only allowing 61 points per game. So they have really good lockdown defense. LSU has been pretty good for the past couple of years now. So this is going to be a dogfight, right? And I think a couple of the players have said it. Their season is on the line. Obviously, we have the SEC tournament to look forward to, but if you want to have life and have momentum, this is at home. This is not a miracle upset game. This is a winnable game. So what are you going to do about it, right? And that's my crow to the game. Can you ride the momentum of the James Reese win? Can you put together that full game, play your game for two halves? Because frankly, we just have not seen that much, and that's what's been so frustrating, right? And I know I've made a stance about Frank Martin. That stance has not changed as of now. I don't foresee it changing. But this is a big opportunity here. If you can put together a little bit of excitement and pride at the back half, really the end of this season, maybe you win a game or two in the SEC tournament, you have a nice little season, and then you know what? That's that. But we'll see. You know, I said on Instagram too, we've had our qualms, basketball team. We've had our qualms, but you know what? It's all good fun, and you guys have really played well these last two games, and I hope to hell we keep it up. Really. So we'll see what happens. Now, moving over to the women's side of things here, their most recent game, Thursday night versus Auburn, Carolina. Look at this score right here, 75-38. Whew. That's just taking the soul out of Auburn. I mean, really. My goodness gracious. A couple highlights here for y'all. Aliyah Boston, my National Player of the Year, with her 18th straight double-double. She got that in the third quarter. She is absolutely a monster. I think it was at some point in the second quarter, she was sitting on the bench and she already had 9 rebounds. So you basically had the hard part done with at the half. just dominating. And then Ziya Cook, true amazing performance here with 20 points. She was looking great. And the team is rolling. I mean, this team, it feels like the back half of this SEC schedule, really the back half of the year, they have settled into a groove here. A couple close games here and there, but that's bound to happen. But they have really settled into a groove here, especially coming off of that grind that was their first part of the season. Now, the women's next game is very exciting. This could be the most excited I've been for a regular season women's basketball game since earlier in this year, since the Stanford game. But Sunday at home versus Tennessee, I believe it is a 1 o'clock tip. But College Game Day is on campus for this game. Anytime you get College Game Day on campus, it's incredible. But the fact that ESPN recognizes how good our women's team is and recognizing how good Tennessee is as well and the SEC women's college basketball as a whole is really, really cool. It's going to be rocking. I cannot wait to turn that on. It's going to be so cool. We even got Shane Beamer telling people to show up. You got, obviously, Don Staley telling people to show up. It's all over social media. It's going to be really cool. I mean, and the story writes itself, basically. You have number one versus number two in the SEC. Two good programs historically. And it's going to be a moment to say, hey, who's taking control of the SEC? But who is ready to try to make a run at this thing come late in the year? I expect a very close game. I expect the toughest test we've had in a while. But on the flip side, I think it's going to be the toughest test for Tennessee they've had in a very long time. So my crow to the game here for our women is embrace the moment, right? And lean into the crowd support. And then also prepare for March. So you kind of have three things in one there, right? Embrace the moment in that game day's here. They're recognizing all of the hard work you've put in. But there's a reason that they're here. So you got to continue to do that. Live up to the moment. Play your game. Play smart, right? Lean into the crowd support because the crowd's going to be rocking. We appreciate our women's college basketball in Columbia. So lean into that if there are moments where it's tough. And then prepare for March. This is a tough game. The crowd's going to be rocking. There's going to be cameras everywhere. This is what March is going to be like in that Sweet 16, Elite 8, and beyond. So this is a perfect test. It's an exciting moment. I love that game day's here. Anytime our campus could get shout out, I love it because we have a beautiful campus with beautiful facilities, and it deserves to be seen on that national stage. And you know what? You want to talk about Aaliyah Boston getting national shout out? I guarantee you it's going to come up. Dawn Staley is probably going to bring it up herself. Wouldn't surprise me if Beamer brings it up. But these commenters who are going to be on campus talking about this is going to be great. And Cocky's probably going to have a sign him damn self. I love Cocky. So it's going to be amazing. Make sure to tune in. Great weekend for Gamecock basketball all the way around. Great weekend. Big games. Big games up and down. So let's go, Cox. And now speaking of big games, big weekends, it's baseball season. Take me out to the ball game. It's here. I said it earlier, but I love how excited South Carolina fans get for baseball season, and it's just incredible how well we support our team. I know it's big in the SEC on the whole. Some schools bigger than others, but I have friends that went to schools at other places, and they frankly just don't give a damn about their baseball team. We do. Spring, summer, fall, winter, we love our sports teams. So it's very cool. So this weekend, the Gamecocks are taking on UNC Greensboro. I couldn't tell you the first thing about that school. I couldn't tell you the first thing about that program. So it sounds like it's the perfect opening weekend to get jitters out of the way and get the crowd, shout out the Rowdy Roosters, into it. So looking at this year's team, it feels like it's a good mix of veterans and newcomers. Obviously, we lost some big talent, including Wes Clark, but there's still lots of talent on this team, and it feels like we could be primed to at least get to the regionals. But if a couple of things break our way, and maybe we can change our approach a little bit at the plate, which is something Mark Kingston and company have talked about, I personally feel like the talent and the juice is here to maybe get a little bit beyond that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you would like to think you can build on the momentum you had last year. So we're going to look at the mix here. So veteran leaders include outfielder Andrew Eichter, the Iceman. He had some real timely clutch hits last year in multiple games. He's really the leader in my mind. And then you have infielder Braylon Wimmer. And then catcher Colin Burgess. I'm expecting big things out of Colin, right? He had some hype into him last year. I think he was banged up a little bit last year, if I'm not mistaken. But he's someone I think, if he gets hot, could be a big-time bat in the lineup. But some newcomers, some exciting newcomers on the team. Transfer first baseman Brant Belk. Now, to my understanding, he is more of a contact hitter. Now, Wes Clark, he played some first base, played a little catcher, played a little DH. So he was that big bat. We all knew at any given time he could hit one out of the ballpark. Brant, I think, has that power, but is more of a contact hitter, can get deeper into at bats. And that's a good change of pace in my mind. I think this team, and they've said it, was a little bit too reliant on the home run. That's what you're seeing around baseball, feels like at all levels now. We can hit home runs, right? You're going to hit home runs, but if you can get men on base, move them over, get deeper at bats, longer at bats rather, make that pitcher get longer to his pitch count, try to get deeper into their bullpen as the series goes on, that's how you win long term. So I think Belk can help with that. And then transfer outfielder Matt Hogan, sort of the same deal. But of course, every year it's fun and exciting to see, are there any freshmen in the lineup, right? Are there any underclassmen who we're not talking about who maybe can crack the rotation? And on the pitching side of things, our pitchers are highlighted by Will Sanders and Julian Bosnick. Now, Bosnick, he is recovering from a slight injury. I don't think we're going to see him this weekend. But this weekend's rotation is Will Sanders on Friday, James Hicks on Saturday, and Josiah Slater on Sunday. So I expect it to be a fun series. I think it's going to be a fun year for the Yardcocks, and the Rowdy Roosters are going to be there and support every game. I saw there was a little bit of a, I don't know, not uproar, but just a little shtick about where the student section is in Founders Park, and then you had some people saying, well, that's where it's always been. Yeah, you know, it has always been there, and, you know, I think it's great that we have a student section period, but maybe we could look into getting maybe a little bit more fun of a location. But regardless, I'm not going to get into that. It's going to be one hell of a weekend. Now, my crow, we're to say crow to the series, right? I mean, should we keep this going? We do crows to the game. Why not, right? Crow to the series? My crow to the series is don't press. The crowd will be jumping, but baseball is a long game, and you play a series. So just understand that you don't have to win it in one at-bat, which feels like this team did a little bit last year. So I'm hoping that there is a little bit of a change of an approach, a little bit more patience. But veterans, you just need to stay steady and be the players that made you leaders. And for our newcomers, you don't need to do anything more than you already have done in your career. So a guy like Brant Belk, don't press. You don't have to do anything crazy. Don't be a new player. We got you from the transfer portal for a reason, so do that. But overall, for the series, y'all, while there could be some moments where the rush shows, right, it's early in the season, it's the first series, all that, I do see the Gamecocks soaking in the home crowd, enjoying the moment, and you know what? I think we could be breaking out the brooms come Sunday at the end of the game. So we'll see. I'm excited. One heck of a weekend for the Gamecocks. Basketball galore. Baseball is back. What a time. What a time. And with that, y'all, that wraps up today's episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. I already plugged Instagram, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and leave reviews to the pod wherever you listen to. I truly appreciate it. We have a hell of a weekend, y'all. Let's go, Cox.